Hello, welcome back to the Max Out Your Life podcast today. I am your host, Cody Reinhardt, and today I have with me Mr. Brad Peel. All right, folks. So this is our second take of the same topic, so hopefully we actually nail it today. We had some technical difficulties in learning how to do this a little bit better, and someone forgot to push the record button on the audio. We won't say who, but I will say he doesn't have hair, so we'll leave it at that.
Narrows it down slightly.
Just a little bit. Yeah. So here we go. I think this is going to be good. We're talking about getting more done by doing less, which sounds like a oxymoron, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's when you like lay it out, it doesn't necessarily make sense, because to do more, you would have to do more.
Yeah.
Not do less.
Exactly. And so what we're really trying to talk about here today is like how to get more done by actually doing less at once. That's really the big key for it, because I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I have the new project or a new task or something that I want to do, I just get so excited and I want to do it and I want to do everything just like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the reality and how to stay consistent. And so that's really what it's about.
Yeah. Too much on your plate at once makes it hard to like make a decision. It's, you don't know where to go, and then you can end up getting nothing done. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, I know I've been in that position before where it's like you go to pack to leave on vacation, or you have your honey-do list and you're like, there's just so many things. I just don't know where to start. I mean, my honey-do list is never that big, but my packing sometimes whenever I go to leave, I'm a last-minute packer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or I used to move a lot back in my younger years, and it was always the same thing. It's like, well, I'm supposed to be moving tomorrow, and I haven't packed a single thing. Like, oh, crap, I don't even know where to start, you know? And that can just be overwhelming, and then you end up getting paralysis by analysis. You know, you keep on analyzing things so much that it leaves you stuck. And if you do get started, it's just like, there's just too many things on your plate at once, and you ultimately you just burn out. Like, that's really what it leads to.
Yeah, which is why habits are so crucial.
Exactly.
You nail those habits down, makes everything in your life a lot easier. It's easier to stay on top of it, more disciplined.
Yep.
Keep moving forward.
Yep.
So a habit, like, what makes a habit compared to like just doing something? Like, how does it? What's the difference, I guess?
Yeah. The best explanation that I heard from this is actually from this podcast. It's called The One Thing Podcast. And it's actually off of a book, The One Thing. And what he said is a habit when it feels weird to not do it anymore. So if I'm doing something like waking up and having coffee in the morning and then I don't have coffee anymore, it's like, well, that's become a habit, right? Or going to the gym. I go to the gym so frequently that when I don't go to the gym, it feels weird. Like, that's how he described it. And I was like, dang, I really like that. Because, I mean, like you said, what's the difference? It only takes, you know, so-called 21 days to form a habit. So if I do something for 3 weeks, I should be good, right? But that's not actually the case. How the 21 days came about was through studies, they saw that it took anywhere from like 18 days to, I believe it was 254 days to form a habit. And what they saw is that from a marketing standpoint, well, if I say 21 days, that's 3 weeks, so that's a good thing to market. But the reality is a habit, the sweet spot for in the studies was 66 days. That's how long it took to actually form a habit. And when we're talking about forming a habit, we're talking about doing just one thing. It could be like, so take meal prepping, for instance. Meal prepping consists of a lot of different things. So just saying you're going to meal prep, it may need to be broken down to something even smaller, and then do that one thing until it becomes so ingrained that you don't have to, I guess, really think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. So just making things easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, what you're saying about the podcast, that it has to feel like something's off.
Yeah.
And that really shows that it's probably a very consistent thing in your life.
Yeah.
Like, if you brush your teeth every single morning, like, and then you don't do that, you probably are like on the way to work or like, I feel weird.
I feel it in my teeth. Yeah. Yeah. Like, dang it.
So that, yeah, I think that's really important. As far as developing that lifestyle and that habit, it's so ingrained where you just, you almost, it's just so natural in your life.
Yep. The word that I like to use for myself and with clients is talking about helping it to run on autopilot. Because when it runs on autopilot, you don't have to think about it. It's kind of like your drive to work every day. I'm sure there's some days you get here and you're like, oh dang, how'd I get here? Because you're not even thinking about it because you just kind of do it, right? And that's how you know when you form this habit of doing it. And so when it comes to health and fitness, that's why so many people get tripped up, because they're just doing things and they're doing too many things instead of saying, how do I actually create meal planning as a habit? How do I create fitness and just being more active as a habit? And if you're stopping and starting, that's not, you're not forming a habit. And I'm not saying that it's like you have to work out 7 days a week, but it's a slow step forward every single day so that it does come, does become a habit.
Yeah. And you've probably worked with quite a bit of people over the last 10 years or so, coaching, working on people's habits. When people come in and they like want to change their lifestyle, what's their like initial response working with them? Like, how do they usually want to go about it? And what are some of the things that you have to kind of rein back or pull in when you're dealing with them?
Honestly, for most people, it's like this mind-blowing concept of how I want them to actually do less. Because most people, when they start a program, it looks something like this. You're going to work out, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. Here's a meal plan. Here's a bunch of foods you can't eat. Don't eat after this time. Do eat here. Do this. Stay away from these entire food groups. Don't forget to drink your water. Get your sleep. And it's like all these things are good.
Everything at once.
Everything at once, yeah. Right? Like throw stuff out of the cabinets at home. And once again, these concepts, while they may help, trying to go from 0 to 100 is why people fail. So to be able to say, hey, you actually only need to do one thing right now is very comforting. And then generally what starts to happen is, because it's so simple, people start to like, well now I got to do something else on top of it. Like, so let's say I was working with a client. We really needed to improve his protein intake because it was crazy low. He was at about, I want to say like 90 grams a day, and he needed to be at least at a minimum of 200. And he was a 250-pound guy, so we were saying roughly at minimum 200 we need to try to get. So we start working on that. The next thing, you know, I meet with him and or check in with him, and he's saying, all right, so, you know, I'm working on that nutrition stuff, and I also, you know, threw all this food out of the cabinets at home, and I started walking more, and I started doing this, and I started doing that. It's like, whoa, hold on, man. Like, the whole point of this being so simple is that it frees up your bandwidth so that you don't have to focus on any other thing right now. I'm not, if change naturally comes, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like your only thing you have to accomplish today is this. And that's it. The rest of it, like, we'll get to it, I promise. It's like the ways that I try to help people understand it. And once again, this comes from the book of The One Thing. They talk about the analogy of setting up dominoes. And about actually when you put a domino, that one domino can knock over the next domino that's 50% larger. And I know I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but it was like they did this demonstration where they did one domino, regular domino size, and the final domino, I want to say it was like, well, not technically final, it was like 12 dominoes down or something like that, was like this 12-foot domino. Mm-hmm. And this tiny little domino knocked over that 12-foot one. Why? Because they had the proper order and the proper step to build momentum. And that's what I try to have people do. You know, when I actually read that book, it was like this connection of how I had actually changed my own life and what had all these now analogies and written in a book. And I was like, oh, that's why it worked for me. Because when I finally got clean, I used to say, I woke up and I was like, all right, I'm going to be sober forever. And that maybe worked for a little while. And I had a bad day and then I relapsed. And so when I finally got clean, what happened was I woke up and I was like, I'm just going to go to the next hour, and I don't care about the hour after that. I'm just going to go to the next hour. And I did that for weeks on end. And then I went from when I woke up to lunch, and then from lunch to the end of the day. Then, I did that for weeks. And then I went the whole day, and then I went the weekday, then the whole week, then the month. And so because I broke it down in these small manageable steps, I was actually able to be consistent, which is how habits are formed. Habits are formed by doing something continually, and I can't do something continually if I do it for 3 days and then I stop for 2 weeks, and then I do it for maybe 2 weeks and then I stop for a month.
Yeah.
And so when I learned that concept, I was like, okay, so that's what's going on in the brain of actually how habits are formed. And so when I created all this, that's what I centered it around, was why do so many people in fitness and health fail? And it's because they're just doing things instead of building habits. And when you build a habit, it's like I said, it's like it kind of runs on autopilot and just kind of does its thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like with your getting sober thing, you had the main goal of being sober forever, which is great, but you also tried to make the main goal your first habit.
Exactly.
Which is the biggest problem that most people run into is, I want to lose 20 pounds and, you know, work out 5 days a week and get, or just get fit. And they make that their main goal, which is a great goal, but they also just take all that stuff as just one trying habit to change their lifestyle. Yeah. And it's just too much at once. And
exactly.
Then we get back to that discouragement feeling of, I've done this year after year after year, trying and trying, and you're back in the same spot
because exactly.
you never formulated a plan, which is kind of what I want to talk about next, is when you have that main goal, what does the process look like to find that habit to work on? How do you create the list based off that one thing you want to get to? And kind of go down to that like lowest hanging fruit, or picking out that one thing to work on and then build from there to get to that main goal. What's that process look like?
And that is honestly, that's the hardest part of the entire process, is what you just brought up. Like, it's great to say, okay, cool, I'm going to do less, but what does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis, right? And so it's a combination of looking at what are the hardest things that the client's going to have to overcome. And then, like you just mentioned, like what's kind of the low-hanging fruit? Once again, going back to the book of the one thing, the quote that they use in here, what they call the focusing question. And it's, what's the one thing that I can do that so by doing makes the next step easier or not necessary? So basically, I just kind of paraphrase that and I say, what do I need to work with right now that makes the next step easier or not necessary? And I continue asking that question, sometimes verbally and sometimes internally, knowing on, you know, where the client is, until I don't have an answer anymore. When I don't have an answer, I know that's the one thing. And then I focused on that, and then we kind of move forward from there. Mm. Yeah. So it's also honestly looking is understanding like where you want to be. I like to start down the road years and then kind of work your way back. Okay, where do you want to be in 5 years? That may be a little bit more loose, that may not be like super super specific, but generally speaking, I want this in 5 years. Okay, cool. Where do you want to be in 1 year? Okay, so if we know our 1 year goal, then we just work our way back from that 1 year goal, and it allows us to prioritize appropriately. And what I found a lot of times is, even if we have a 1 year goal and it takes us 2 years to hit it, that's okay, because you were working towards it every single day. And I think that being flexible is the word that I use a lot, is an important part of that. Mm-hmm. So you don't get hung up on, I fell off track. I'm gonna get started again on Monday. It's like, no, dude, it's Tuesday. Like, we're not gonna wait till Monday to get back on. You know, it's okay, you didn't make it to the gym yesterday because of yada yada yada. Today you could do 5 push-ups at home,
right?
Or 5 burpees. Like, it really doesn't matter, because physically you're not going to gain anything of it. It's the mental victory that you're going to get from saying, I said I was going to do something, and then I actually followed through and did it. And what I like to call the 1% rule. And that 1% rule is making sure that at the end of your day, you complete whatever the task was at least 1%. Maybe it wasn't exactly right. That's okay. But it's 1%. And I think about it as like a wall. So if every time you walk up to this wall, this barrier in your life, and you allow the wall to push you back, you've trained the neurotransmitters in your brain to say, hey, when I experience resistance, I want you to give up and I want you to go the other way, right? And that's where that perfectionism really comes into play. Compared to every time I come up to this wall of resistance in my life, I'm going to take just a small, tiny little chunk out of it, like the 1% rule, like I was just talking about. And then by doing that, you now told the brain, okay, well, maybe this didn't go exactly how I planned, but I did something instead of threw my hands up and said, well, I'll start again tomorrow or I'll start again next week. And then as you continually do that, your brain gets it in its head that like, Oh, okay. So just because this doesn't go our way doesn't mean we quit. Doesn't mean that we give up, and doesn't mean that we turn the other direction. And then, like, that's how these habits are formed, because, I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
If it were easy, then it would be done like that, you know, and it's just not, it's not the way it works.
Right. So you mentioned earlier that the habit process takes, what did you say, 18 to 200?
18 to 254.
Okay. So that's a pretty big range.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with, you know, small habits leading to the next, what's the process look like as far as moving someone to the next habit? Is there like a consistency rating you're looking for, or a time frame within that 18 to 200 days?
Yeah.
Kind of what does that look like working with clients? And also for the people listening, as far as what can they expect on moving forward in that process?
So the way that I like to do it is, I actually got this from Precision Nutrition. Precision Nutrition is one of the new nutrition certifications that I have, and they break things down into 2-week increments. And I really like that, because if I just said, hey, we're only going to do you one thing for the next 66 days, because that was the sweet spot, or even let's say 254, that's a lot for us to wrap our mind around, right? So if I can break it down into 2-week increments, even if it's the same habit, but maybe we're attacking it a little bit different every single time, like, that is a lot easier to consume. And then what I do is I have an 80% rule. We need to complete this at least 80%. And then if we complete it 80%, then we can move on. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, that's okay. What we do is it's time for us to reevaluate. Was the plan too aggressive? There are our backup plans or our fail safes, or what I actually call the SOPs, standard operating procedures. Were they not set up in the right way to help us to be successful? Because sometimes the goal, especially earlier on, because people are so motivated, they want to do too much too quick. And sometimes that happens, fair enough. But it's because we didn't completely retreat from it, and you just make a course correction, just a little course correction. And, oh, well, that didn't work out so well. Okay, cool. What didn't work out so well with it? And then make another course correction. And then, okay, that worked a little bit better, but that part didn't work so well. And then you kind of just keep moving from there. Mm-hmm. Always about making course corrections.
Yeah, so almost you have to analyze a lot. You have to pay attention.
Correct.
To kind of how things are affecting your day, your wins, your losses. So, I mean, almost like having a journal seems like it might be really important.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
If you're doing it by yourself, for sure.
Yes.
I guess if you had a coach or someone that you were working along this, they could help keep track and do those corrections. But if someone was just trying to work on something by themselves, would you say, like, journaling or the process of tracking? Like, how would you go about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So if I was trying to give somebody a takeaway for right now, it would be write out your goal of where you want to be at in a year. Write that out specifically, and then ask yourself, okay, what do I need to do to make that happen? And then write that down. Okay, what do we need to do to make that happen? So let's say it's, I want to lose 20 pounds. Let's just say that's the year goal. Okay, what do we need to do to make that happen? Okay, well, I need to eat better. Okay, what do we need to do to make that happen? I need to understand what nutrition is. Okay, how do we need to make that happen? I need to go and research this with, you know, going and checking out a reputable source of where I can learn this information. Okay, what do we need to make that happen? And you just continue on this list until you find out the one thing you need to do. And then I actually learned this trick very recently, actually, from another coach. Her name is Alicia Strager. And she sends out a newsletter that's really awesome. And she had gone to a seminar or something, and the guy that was there talked about writing down the one thing he needed to complete each day on an index card. So what he does, he wakes up in the morning, he gets an index card, and he writes the one thing that he's going to finish that day, and he doesn't go to bed until he does it. And at the end of the day, he tears the index card up, and then the next day he writes another one. And so by basically making this mini commitment to yourself of giving you the focus, if you know that when you wake up, the only thing you have to do towards helping you better your life is X. Today is grocery shopping day. Okay, cool. Today is, you know, going to the gym, or today is, you know, knowing that your kids are going to be at the ball field, that you're going to, I don't know, do a body weight workout at the field, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't really matter. You have a very specific focus for the day is going to help you to achieve those goals a lot easier. And the second step to that is, like you had mentioned, you know, hiring a coach or someone who can hold you accountable to that.
Yeah. Because I know for myself, I do okay keeping myself accountable, but it makes it way easier if I have someone that I can just go and talk to or report back to and be like, yeah, I didn't do too well today, or I did amazing, and then they can talk me through what went wrong, what went right,
yep,
what's going on. Like, a coach can be huge.
I mean, coaches have coaches.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure.
As far as how hard do you think it is for people who are, like, doing it on their own? Like, maybe if they're in a marriage, they're trying to lose weight, but their spouse isn't. Have you dealt with any clients that are kind of solo in this goal and the struggles that they've gone through?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the support of your spouse or significant other, whoever you're living with, for sure. I mean, if you're not living together, it makes it a little bit easier. But if you're living together, you got kids, it makes it really hard, you know. And I'm not saying it's impossible, for sure. I know I'm starting this off kind of the negative, but it's just, you have to decide, is this a big enough thing that you want?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, like, you'll find a way to make it happen. You know, I've worked with clients before that one wanted it, one the other didn't, but they didn't actively go out of their way to try to sabotage them though either. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to eat vegetables if you cook vegetables. So then you end up cooking, you know, if it's the mom, generally speaking, now they're cooking two different meals. So that can be challenging. So it all comes back to, what's the simplest thing that I can do today to move forward in the right direction? Because getting healthier doesn't actually mean you even need a gym membership. You know, if you're not doing anything, getting up and walking is going to be a huge step in the right direction. So it's more about, how important is this to you really? And then what do I need to do in order to move forward at all?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the biggest thing.
How hard do you think people are on themselves? Do you think they're too hard on themselves? Like, because to me, what I see is that they generally are, and they kind of think that it has to be perfect or it's a complete failure. But, like, you're not like a professional athlete, unless you are, and it's more important. But having a slip up here and there, or just if you're like trying to diet stricter and just enjoying a meal, and like having a social event with friends, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I think generally people get so hung up on either it's comparison or just trying to be so perfect, they put this huge burden on themselves. Like, how do you coach them around that one?
So part of the process is understanding, or helping them realize about the one thing they need to work on. That helps a lot. Perfectionism, you're never going to completely get rid of, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. But the way that I always present it is, even doing a little bit, even doing one small thing, is better than doing nothing. So let's say that Monday and Tuesday you do really well. You eat well, you go to the gym. Wednesday rolls around, you have a lunch meeting at work, and you will say you go off plan. You fall off. You're like, ah, man, I messed up. Well, the week's already screwed up. I'll go ahead and start again next week. It is better to say you're going to wake up Thursday and even do half of what you did on Monday and Tuesday, and do that on Thursday and Friday, and you're still ahead. So you look at the amount of days, like, we'll just take the weekdays for a second. What's that, 20 days in a week? And if you're only going in a month, yeah, sorry. And if you're doing, you have 20 workout days in a month, roughly speaking, and you're only going Monday and Tuesday, and then you slip up every Wednesday, that now means you only did something for 8 days of the month, compared to, I'm going to just go and walk today instead of go to the gym, and you do that for Thursday, Friday. You've now done something 4 days a week, so you've done something 16 times for the month, so it is significantly better to do that. It's better to do something for 5 minutes once a day than it is to try to do something 60 minutes once a week.
Yeah. Short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because no one's going to be perfect. And the more you can focus on just being that and being consistent and moving forward, the better you're going to be.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way the habits actually build, is by doing things consistently. So it's better to pull back, do less, keep moving forward.
So one thing after this podcast that people can do, they listen to the whole thing, they want to get started.
Think of the easiest thing that you can do today. If you want to get into the gym and you haven't been in the gym, get up and start walking. If you want to eat better, get up and add some water to your daily intake. If you're already drinking good water, then add some protein. If you already have, you know, you're already eating enough protein in your diet, which most people aren't, but let's just say that you are, then maybe get up and go get a gym membership. Like, do something today. Don't wait for tomorrow. That's the biggest thing I can tell you. Small and simple things will lead to just extraordinary results.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I think that wraps up our habit podcast.
Yeah, take two.
Yeah.
We actually got it.
We got it recorded this time.
Is the record button on? Sweet. Well, awesome. Thank you guys again, and we'll see you on our next episode. Goodbye. Hey, really quick there before you take off today. All of our episodes, the way we come up with our topics is by conversations that we have. So if there's something specific that you want us to hear, you want us to talk about and you want to hear about, then let us know. Shoot us a message on our Facebook page, also Instagram as well, and just kind of let us know. Also, if there's something that stood out to you today and you had that kind of aha moment and you're ready to move forward with whatever it is that we talked about today, leave us a review, leave us a rating, and let us know that. The more reviews that we get, not only does that allow us the podcast to get out to more people, but it also lets us know that we're on the right track of talking about the things that people want to hear about. And lastly, if you want to have a little more direct contact with us, we have a free Facebook group, the Holy Grail of Fat Loss for Busy Parents. So go and check out that Facebook group. You can get the link in the show notes. And we have weekly masterclasses inside there where I'm actually doing like a screen record and I'm showing you specifically how to do things, from recipes and calculating your macros and training programs and techniques and whatever it is that you actually need to make sure that you can apply all the things we talk about on the podcast. Education is great, but application is more important. So that's what that Facebook group is really about. Like I said, the link is in the show notes. And thank you guys so much for listening today, and we'll see you the next time.